Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
This Kensington church fire, firefighters on that scene. A lot of fires lately. There's also another breaking story about an earthquake overseas. So just getting that one in with at least two people killed. Two people unaccounted for after flames ravaged that three-story home in Philadelphia's Germantown neighborhood. That started last night in the area of Musgrave and Brinton Streets. So the Philadelphia Fire Department's acting fire chief saying that three people able to get out of the twin home safely, while a couple were told of senior citizens, they remain unaccounted for still this morning. So this was a huge fire. Crews had to focus on extinguishing the flames from the outside, obviously, because it was just by the time they got there, this was fully engulfed. Crews were able to get the fire under control at some point before midnight, but we don't have, like I say, word of the two people unaccounted for, so still looking for that one. A big jury verdict in a case that goes back many years. Larry Krasner, the district attorney, speaking out yesterday afternoon, holding a news conference. Why? Well, because in this one, these are three former, now retired detectives, ages 75 to 80 years of age, jurors handing over a mixed verdict in this perjury case of these three former Philadelphia homicide detectives. So prosecutors, under the direction of Larry Krasner, the DA there, alleging that these former detectives actually fabricated a murder confession or forcing that confession. They were being accused by the DA, the ADAs, they're the prosecutors, of planting evidence and then lying about it under oath in the 2016 retrial of a man named Anthony Wright. So the jury siding yesterday, and this happened minutes before noon yesterday. I reported it as breaking news that the verdict was coming down right before the Dom show. So this was like 11:55, something like that. But the jury ultimately sided with the defense on all of those claims as far as planting the evidence and that sort of thing. But so exonerating all three of the perjury charges related to the accusations of some kind of a coerced confession, planting the evidence, that sort of thing. Former homicide detective Martin Devlin, he was fully exonerated by this jury, cleared of all charges brought against him. His attorney, Brian McMonagle, one of the most prominent attorneys on the East Coast, if not in the nation, speaking after the verdict was read, saying this about his client, saying that Martin Devlin spent 45 years trying to right terrible wrongs and was innocent of these charges. But the two other defendants, these other two former homicide detectives, Manuel Santiago, as well as Frank Jastrzemski, they were found guilty of charges stemming from their knowledge of any DNA evidence. So jurors convicting Manuel Santiago of a different perjury type charge for his testimony about knowledge of DNA evidence and a charge of false swearing. As far as Frank Jastrzemski, he was cleared of the perjury charges related to a search warrant, but was found guilty on that count of false swearing for his testimony about the DNA evidence. Now, their attorneys, Frank Perry, as well as Fortunato Perry Jr., speaking following the verdict, and it was a busy afternoon yesterday, saying that with respect to the perjury having to do with the DNA, it's clear from the testimony for both men that they were confused as to what their DNA meant at that time. So they are planning an appeal, and they both said they are confident that on appeal, when you look at this, that they are confident their clients would, that would be appealed successfully. So they're already in the throes of that. As far as Mr. Wright, he was convicted of rape and the murder of 77-year-old Louise Talley. This goes all the way back to 1991, Nicetown. Wright's 1993 conviction overturned when the DNA implicated another man who later died. So Wright was tried again, but then acquitted in 2016. So if you remember, that was Seth Williams was the DA at the time. And some had said it was controversial that they even retried him because there was concrete DNA evidence. So in this one, DA Krasner speaking out yesterday and was asked about his thoughts on the jury's rejection of the prosecutor's assertion that detectives framed Mr. Wright and then coerced a conviction. And so he was speaking out about that. He said, I can say we have one detective convicted of perjury and false swearing, serious offenses, a second detective convicted of false swearing. He said, quote, I will leave it to that. So in this case, both of the former detectives, they face sentencing and jail time, and that sentencing would be set for June. However, we know that the attorneys, there's an appellate process. So we'll follow it for you. I know it's a bit complicated of a case, but it's a huge case with a lot of ramifications here in Philadelphia. In particular, think about the DA's race coming up. So we'll see what Krasner's opponent, Pat Dugan, former Judge Pat Dugan, what Dugan has to say about that. So stay tuned on that one.
The one that Krasner's going to win again?
What's that?
The one that Krasner's going to win again?
Well, I mean, I don't know who's going to win. So I will, you know, I'm just trying to, it's a lot, there are a lot of details that goes back. I don't know if anybody got Seth Williams, the former DA, yesterday, and asked him about the case, because there were people even reporting that it was, you know, looking back at 2016, interesting that he chose to retry the case against Wright. So we have that going on. Leaders of the School District of Philadelphia, by the way, unveiling that $4.6 billion budget for the district. This is just Philadelphia County, and they expect a budget shortfall, a big one, of more than $300 million for the coming fiscal year. So remember that COVID money has since run out. And remember, part of this is we have a huge level of population loss. So less kids, less money for each kid. Superintendent Tony Watlington saying that he was laying out his solution to the board, but if they don't get more money from the state, he says they will have to make cuts. Bottom line here. So we have that one going on for sure. Our good news of the day are Phils, and this is, you know, exciting news with Bryce Harper, first for him, as Bryce Harper in D.C., and once again, just an exciting game, even for yesterday's big opener, obviously the home opener on Monday, but opening day for a 7-3 victory over the Nationals.
Yeah, baby.
And you drive in the city this morning, and you just feel that fire, the Phils. I'm so excited that John Brazier is going to be here.
Did you see all Boathouse the red Row with all the skylines?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Boathouse Row, the entire city lit up in red.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. By the way, that was until they started going after the fifth or sixth inning. That was painful for a while. Phillies had, I think the starting pitcher for the Nationals struck out 12 batters and was just cruising along. I was bored out of my skull.
It was some sort of record, right, where they had so many strikeouts, but they still won or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. And then kaboom.
Whatever, we won.
Harper and Schwarber. Bang, bang.
You know I hate baseball? I love baseball. But you know why I hate baseball? Because they have today off.
Like, I know. What are we doing? Well, it's because they always prepare for a possible weather day.
I know.
With the season being so. This is why the baseball season shouldn't start until the end of April.
Exactly.
Because cold weather baseball sucks unless it's the playoffs.
And
don't you wish it was Saturday, though?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I wish that was a home game.
But then Monday is their home game, and then they have off Tuesday.
Yep. Well, we should always start out either on the West Coast or in a dome.
But the weather isn't looking great for Monday.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, so today 64 degrees and mostly sunny for your Friday. Saturday sunny, 80 degrees. Sunday 73 with clouds moving in, a chance for some rain then. So Monday is still 72 degrees. And yeah, we could see some rain. I don't see it as a washout, But at least it's not like, it's not going to be raw and rainy, you know, for Monday. So it'll be cloudy, scattered showers, but not, you know what I mean? It's not horrible, Greg.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 72.
Okay, good.
I'll take it.
Okay. Greg is like,
okay.
All right. We got the fills. We don't have to talk about, okay, the Flyers did win.
The first game went afterwards, and they won.
We did report. What
time was
that? We're
going to run the table now.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, it was late in the show.
Yeah. And Phil Omquist on our group text, he's fired.
Yeah.
Tort's fired. So we're sorry, John. We're, you know.
He's
41 years of incompetence.
Oh, it is not. Will you stop it?
I will never see a winner sports team win anything in this city.
Well, Will Smith was at the Sixers game.
So. Oh, that makes me feel better.
The other night.
Yeah. Was he playing center? Or no?
Would he help Joel?
Well, he did.
He rang the bell.
Yeah.
Ring my bell.
Yeah, the Phillies rung the bell yesterday.
They did.
Hashtag ring the bell.
Yep. We are ringing the bell for First Bank, ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner. You can count on First Bank for personalized support, smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. So thank you, First Bank, for Our first newscast of Kale & Company News Live this Friday morning.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Anderson Mechanical Corporation. Veteran-owned Anderson Mechanical Corporation is growing rapidly and has career opportunities available. If working for a company built on integrity, discipline, and work ethic is important to you, call them today. Veterans highly encouraged to apply. Visit amcontheweb.com. The Big Take is coming up next, but first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America, because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. You can join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn's safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get down.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And to business, one last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company,
which is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Defy, detain, and deport. The Trump administration got back to playing offense yesterday after a rough few days of negative publicity as protecting America took center stage once again. And in my opinion, there's no question when it pertains to illegal immigration, the southern border, ICE, and deportations, the Trump administration gets an A+. If you look at all of the campaign promises and the results to date, the border and immigration have been a resounding success. Kristi Noem had the ultimate FAFO flex as she stood in front of El Salvador gang members in their hardcore prison. We played you that video on the cut sheet. Next up, Kash Patel and Pam Bondi. Two major apprehensions made on Thursday, one of which occurred late in Kale & Company, as the anti-American crusade got smashed. First, it was the capture of a notorious MS-13 gang member. Then it was the arrest of the Las Vegas Tesla firebomber. And the message is crystal clear. If you are here illegally and you're anti-American, either leave or you'll be shown the exit. And if you're committing hate crimes or domestic terrorism, your days of roaming the streets with civilians are numbered. First, though, we begin with a top MS-13 leader that was arrested in Virginia, just south of Washington, D.C. The 24-year-old El Salvadorian national is identified as Henry Villatoro Santos. According to the FBI, he is one of the top three in control of MS-13. Here is Attorney General Pam Bondi addressing the news after this big victory. Listen and watch.
So first, many had been identified. They've been living here. Many had been identified living here. They were let freely into our country. All of these illegal aliens. I had gone to that border in September. Nothing humane was happening at that border. Passports stacked everywhere. Everywhere, from every country you can imagine, people freely walking across our borders, fighting age men coming into our country. And this is the result of Joe Biden's open border policy. What our country has been plagued with. But from the second Donald Trump took office, he said he is going to make America safe. He shut down our borders. And now it's our job to get these people out of our country as fast as we can. And this coordinated group effort, this task force that has been put together, is making a difference here, and it will make a difference around the country. That's why you're seeing so many arrests so fast, because we will not have another Lake and Riley. We are going to catch them, we are going to apprehend them, and they are not going to like where they are going.
Nice work out of Pam Bondi. Here's the director of the FBI, Kash Patel. We gave you a little bit of him yesterday late in the show. Here's more of Kash laying the law down after a very impressive beginning to making America safe again. Listen and watch.
This task force is going to go everywhere it is needed across the United States to bring the form of justice and measured security and safety that our American citizens deserve. It is an America First model because we live in the United States of America. And if you are here illegally, you will not be here any longer. And if you are going to continue to commit acts of violent crime, you will meet the same fate that this individual did this morning.
I must say, it is quite refreshing seeing the Attorney General and the head of the FBI going after real criminals, not political adversaries like Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray did for multiple years of the Biden administration. And speaking of the Biden administration, one man feeling a major sigh of relief is outgoing Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin. Listen and watch this.
But most importantly, it's this effort that has been enabled by the Trump administration. President Trump said, get the bad guys. I've been working on this literally for the first 3 years of our administration with little to no help from the senior leadership in the federal government and the Biden administration. On day one, we went to work signing a 287G memorandum. It took us 20 hours to get it done.
It's taken Trump under 2.5 months to make America drastically safer and closed for business when it comes to crossing the southern border. But deporting them, that remains a sticking point. The Washington Post reporting with this headline, appeals court upholds temporary block on Alien Enemies Act deportation. And of course, if you've been paying attention, this all stems from that federal district judge, James Boasberg, and his temporary restraining orders blocking the deportations under the Trump administration. But if you think that is political and infuriating, which it is, and anti-American, which it is, get a load of this story. Police in upstate New York now are facing backlash for assisting ICE. Multiple officers in Rochester, New York, under fire from Democrat leaders after they reportedly responded to an emergency request from federal immigration agents during a traffic stop. The local officers are now being accused of violating the city's sanctuary policies. Here is Fox Rochester with the report. Listen and watch.
On that traffic stop, Mayor Evans says RPD officers verbally directed the occupants to exit the vehicle and then helped handcuff him. That's where he says city police went too far. It happened early Monday evening near here, Whitney Street off Lyle Avenue on the city's west side.
The Rochester Police Department received an emergency request for backup at the scene of a traffic stop.
A request from Border Patrol officers who had stopped a van. Chief David Smith says when a police supervisor arrived, he canceled the emergency response based on what he saw.
From watching the body-worn camera footage, what is concerning to me is, despite the fact that we were called, we went lights and siren, I see in the video a total lack of urgency on the part of multiple Border Patrol officers at the scene.
Smith says Border Patrol should have initiated contact with those in the car, but instead it was RPD. The mayor says city officers acted outside their scope.
The officers on the scene were verbally directed the occupants to get out of the vehicle. And this is against our policy.
Rochester's Sanctuary City Resolution was passed in 1986 and was later reaffirmed in 2017. That and RPD's General Order 502 prohibits RPD from enforcing federal immigration law, but allows for certain levels of assistance, only to ensure the safety of those involved.
We are not to be handcuffing subjects. We are not to be doing pet frisks on subjects. And we are absolutely not going to be detaining them or putting them into our...
What a disgrace that is. And that could happen here in Philadelphia, another sanctuary city. And now we have police saying that Border Patrol agents didn't act aggressively enough. A mayor and a chief of police on the side of the sanctuary city policy. So let me guess, the district attorney probably on board as well. This madness with sanctuary cities and illegal immigrants, especially ones that commit crimes or violent acts, has to stop. It's common sense to end the absurdity of protecting illegal violent offenders. Perhaps an executive action? Here was Donald Trump just 2 days ago talking about an EO that will trigger the left. Listen and watch.
We're looking at one, I will tell you right now, that I think perhaps will be controversial, but not with the people, and that's sanctuary cities. We're going to end sanctuary cities for some of these jurisdictions that aren't cooperating with law enforcement. They're guarding criminals. They're taking the rights away from the citizens of this state and their city. And we're going to be ending sanctuary cities if we find it necessary to do in certain major areas. And we may just end the entire thing altogether because it's just a way of protecting criminals. And nobody else is benefited by that. And for some reason, Democrats want to keep and they want to shield criminals from being sent back to their countries or being sent to prison. And in the meantime, the crime rate has gone through the roof. Under Biden, it was through the roof. It's starting to come down, but we're taking a lot of people out of here. So we may be presenting you very shortly with an executive order ending sanctuary cities.
I can't wait for that day to happen. And why do Democrats want to protect these individuals? Because they're hoping that they will be a voter in the years to come. Of course, a federal judge will step in. But I love the effort. Lastly, though, it was a great day for protecting Tesla owners and hopefully setting a precedent that domestic terrorism or a hate crime will not be tolerated. The headline coming down, man arrested in Molotov cocktail attack at the Tesla shop in Las Vegas is now facing federal charges. Paul Kim, 36, is facing arson charges after firebombing Teslas. Phil, if you could roll the video footage from the Las Vegas Review Journal, please, that would be great. According to reports, as you watch this on YouTube, the accused terrorist is believed to have pulled out a gun and shot the cars along with the ignition of Molotov cocktails. Quote, he used what appeared to be multiple Molotov cocktails and firearms to conduct the attack. That according to LVMPD Assistant Sheriff Dory Corrin, five vehicles were damaged in the incident and Kim was booked on 15 counts. Bill Malusian of Fox News reports, Las Vegas Metro Police say that a search of the Tesla firebombing suspect Paul Kim's social media shows him with potential communist and pro-Palestinian affiliations. Surprise, surprise. They say they have a DNA match and showed video of him using a rifle to shoot out surveillance cameras before setting off the attack. Hey, Paul, since you hate America so much, how about you get the hell out of this country? Nobody's stopping you. It's time for Law and Order and America First policies. We have the right president. We have Bondi. We have Patel. We have Homan. We have Noam. Now we just need to end the political nutbags of left-wing mayors, DAs, and judges. Easier said than done, but it's a start, and that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. 855-839-1210. The phone number, if you want to jump in, you can send us a message on X at 1210 WPHT, or let it rip in the YouTube chat. You can even hate on Phil Omquist if you like. All right, Don Stenzlin, your thoughts on MS-13, all these Tesla terrorists. Thought it was a good day for the administration to kind of get back on offense and do what they have been pledging to do, and that's letting cops be cops and rocking bad guys' world.
Yeah, I think this goes over very well with the American people. I think it's popular. I mean, I can't speak for other parts of the country or New York State, but here in Philadelphia, I don't see that kind of, as far as the sanctuary city status, you don't hear the mayor talk about it. You don't hear anybody talk about it.
You think she's not on board with the concept?
I think that this mayor has said that she is, you know, and that was why one of the reasons I think she won, even over against far left, you know, progressive, popular, then considered popular, Philadelphia City Council members. Mm-hmm. I mean, let us not forget AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders. Who were they endorsing? Helen Gim. Remember her?
Yep.
And so those individuals did not win here. And part of this is, and I don't know, what was it, Rochester? I don't know what their population or what their, you know, mix is as far as who lives there, whatever. But I just think here in Philadelphia, it doesn't, this idea that resources would go toward people who are here illegally, when we have the crime we have the problems and cutbacks we have, it's very different here.
Yep.
And so I do not see those types of things that might happen in other woke places.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it is one of the reasons that a lot of people stayed home and didn't vote, or maybe voted a different way, particularly in the African-American community, particularly for African-American men. I just don't see that happening here in Philadelphia.
I hope you're right. I would like to see this this madness end. And certainly, you know, there will be a lot of screaming if Trump does come through with that executive order. Once he puts Sharpie to paper, you know, the left will lose their mind and start up with, well, it's racist and nobody's illegal and all of that. So I would expect that to be on the way. We'll see if Trump signs that executive order, maybe as early as next week. 855-839-1210. So it was a very busy day yesterday. You know, the Phillies were on at 4:00. I was getting ready to watch. I had to take my girls to dance. I made my daughters listen to the radio broadcast of Scott Fransky. They wanted to blow their head off. That's not a shot at Scott. That's the fact that young kids today have no respect for the nostalgia of baseball on the radio.
Nobody does it better than Fransky.
Nobody. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to replace Harry Callis.
Really,
man,
is.
That guy is doing it at a great rate. Yep. So
I mean, right now, nobody does it better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So my girls were ready to blow their head off.
I'm going to disagree with you on kids. I think my sons love it, and I'm a Mimi, Emmeline, they're going opening day.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it depends on the kid. Your girls are dancers.
Yeah, 10-year-old female dancers.
So Emmy,
not interested in baseball on the radio.
Right, so Emmy, 10, you know, a 10-year-old, but she's a huge athlete. She does all the flag football, and she's a soccer star. So I think it depends on, you know, what the kids are into.
Oh, really? Okay.
All you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, sure. Maybe my girls, when Olivia gets older, she might be into it.
Yeah.
But they wanted no part of it last night. And I'm like, you will appreciate the great American pastime. Daddy used to fall asleep at the transistor radio under his pillow listening to Harry Callis.
We got
to
get them some, like, pink fillies, the bling bling.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Get
absolutely
them into it.
Absolutely. Definitely. So I got back from dropping them off at dance. I caught the end of the Phillies when they finally started to hit the ball a little bit. And then I was watching, before the Sweet 16 came on last night, the Brett Baer interview with Elon Musk and Doge. And I thought it was really good. I mean, I thought that group came off very well from, hey, we're smart people, we're successful people, we're going to tell you about all the ridiculousness with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the absurd spending. And to me, the theme has been, if you are mad that Elon Musk went from being a Democrat to being a Trump supporter and a significant player in this administration, you hate everything about him now. But I just don't understand, as a tax-paying American citizen, if you have America First values and you're tired of seeing our nation with inflation and a deficit of $36 trillion, how you can be opposed to the entire concept of this when this was an Obama idea 14 years ago that he never delivered on, but he talked about. Everybody was silent back then. Oh, no problem with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now a Republican does it with Elon Musk as kind of the face and the voice of the operation, and it's hysteria. I know we have some clips, but I just want to mention these headlines because you can see the slant to this. The New York Times 9 hours ago. Elon Musk and Doge aides try a charm offensive in Fox News interview. NBC News, Elon Musk's Doge tries to put new faces on its reclusive federal office. Politico, an Apple Store government, and other takeaways from Musk's interview on Fox. The USA Today, kind of only the slightly neutral, respectable headline of, quote, "This is a revolution. Musk shrugs off Doge criticism and defends the department." So that's the kind of slant that you're getting from that. You wanted to play some clips here, Greg?
So, yeah, just the whole thing, I think, was summed up by this one clip. When you think about the federal government, what they spend, how much money they spend on certain things. And, you know, you guys talk about shopping at Aldi all the time. Nick, I saw it.
He's discovered it.
I saw a text.
I told him where it was.
I saw a text on Sunday morning from Nick Kale saying how much eggs were. And Dawn said, yeah, Larry was just there and it was this. So
they dropped by a dollar a dozen.
So we all shop for, better prices. Apparently the federal government doesn't.
Nope.
Because this is the most telling clip of the entire 30-minute interview yesterday. Roll it.
For you, what's the most astonishing thing you've found out in this process?
The sheer amount of waste and fraud in the government. It is astonishing. It's mind-blowing. We routinely encounter wastes of $1 billion or more, casually. For example, like the simple survey that was literally 10 question survey that you could do with SurveyMonkey cost about $10,000 the government was being charged almost $1 billion for that.
For just the survey?
$1 billion for a simple online survey. Do you like the national park? And then there appeared to be no feedback loop for what would be done with that survey. So the survey would just go into nothing. It was like insane.
A
$10,000 survey that you can do on SurveyMonkey was costing us, the taxpayers, $1 billion.
$1 billion.
Crazy.
It is just ridiculous. And the concept behind it and the content, including, do you like this national park? Are you serious? How can anybody that pays taxes be on board with this? Yeah. We're all sitting here saying, I'd love to have more money. I've never met anybody that likes to give up 18%, 25%, 35% of their paycheck to the government. Never met somebody that was loves the idea.
And this
guy's trying to save America from being in financial ruins, and you're mad about it.
Every company, every 6 months, goes through, okay, let's go through your line of expenditures. Is there something, this person is charging us X for this. Is there somewhere else we can get it cheaper? But apparently the federal government doesn't do that. Business does that.
That's the shocking piece of this. So not only is this the fleecing of America where they just throw around the money, but on top of it, we learned early on from the Doge team that, in fact, nothing is even traceable. So you get a paycheck, it has a number on it. Everything has a number associated to it so you can do these audits. And even in the city of Philadelphia, and remember under Jim Kenney, the auditor came in and said, where's all the money? I mean, even in cities like Philadelphia, there's somebody somewhere that's a comptroller, that's looking into things. So not only did they blow the money, but they made it so there's no way to track and do the audits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The federal government with our money is like my kids with the leftover wrapper from the cheese stick that they just ate. They just discarded. They have no regards for it. Well, it might be under the couch. We don't really know.
That's bad parenting.
It's just awful. I see one more damn rapper. 855-839-1210. We'll continue this conversation.
It's like a therapy session
on the other side. It is. I always bring it back to my own debacles. Let me tell you about our friends at Piazza Auto Group. They're not a debacle. They are the best. And they just rolled out a brand new vehicle courtesy of Acura. The all-new 2025 ADX. Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. I can't wait to try it myself. A turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, it's now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester, with leases as low as $389 per month, $389 per month. Check it out today. Visit PiazzaAcura.com for the latest details.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser's D.C. government, according to Politico, add this to the long list of blue state entities cornered into genuflecting before Donald Trump. Politico writes, in the face of Republican threats to take over the self-governing Capitol, the city administration has spent 2025 trying to accommodate White House priorities on supposedly local policies ranging from graffiti abatement to street murals. This week may have brought the most Trump-pleasing move yet. The vandals accused of writing anti-Elon Musk graffiti on Tesla windshields, D.C. police have said, will now potentially be on the hook for hate crimes.
I don't like the term hate crimes.
No?
I want to be consistent with this. I didn't like it when it was applied against people who, you know, I beat this person up because of their color or because of their ethnicity or because of this. A crime is a crime. There's hate in your soul when you're committing a crime, especially of that violent nature. So a crime is a crime. And to make it a hate crime just makes it...
You think it's over the top?
I think, yeah. Yeah. I think it's virtue signaling. Okay. You know,
are you okay if it's labeled domestic terrorism when you firebomb the vehicles, though? Or do you think that's excessive, too? See, I'm kind of with you on the hate crime from graffiti standpoint, but from the firebombing and especially the bombs in the dealership, that to me is domestic terrorism.
Think about
how
it,
is it not?
Think about it. Is what is the goal of any kind of terrorism? It's to incite fear.
Yep, instill the fear.
Right?
Yep.
It's making you feel intimidated. And so what they're doing is they're trying to say across the country. I mean, this guy in Cherry Hill they're searching for, you know, going in front of people or blocking their pathway on a roadway.
Yeah.
Getting out of the vehicle, intimidation.
Yeah, those videos are wild.
That is terrible. And it's happening across our region, across the country. So that. To me, if it's like that, you know, and to Greg's point, yeah, I don't know that you need to say hate crime. Just do the terrorism because that's actually a felony.
Yeah,
that's a very serious crime.
Yeah, somebody that with these, especially with these videos of people racing ahead of somebody and then slamming on the brakes and getting out, somebody's going to do that and they're going to mess with the wrong person, and somebody's going to get out of that vehicle that's being targeted. That's a Second Amendment individual, and you're going to find out. You're going to find out.
I think there's a difference between, you know, the left wants to say it's, you know, it's just protest. It's freedom of speech and protest. No, they're firebombing dealerships.
Right.
That's not protest.
Right.
But domestic terrorism, well, I guess it's, you know, it's political in nature in the fact that, you know, it's his politics that is getting people to commit the crimes that they're doing. I don't know. I mean, I don't like these labels on everything, and I get what Dawn is saying, that if you call it domestic terrorism, it becomes a felony and the penalties are harsher.
Right.
But I think the penalty should be harsh anyway for anything you're doing that is any sort of destructive vandalism like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
And if we made more of examples out of people that, like, hey, this little offense that you're doing, spray painting or whatever you're doing, that, you know, that is just as bad as firebombing, then maybe people wouldn't do it.
I agree. All right, want to continue with Elon from last night?
So let's do 14 here. Elon Musk, the Doge accomplished most of the work to reduce the deficit by $1 trillion within 130 days, which is pretty astonishing.
You technically are a special government employee, and you're supposed to be 130 days. Are you going to continue past that, or do you think that's what you're going to do? Or?
Well, I think we will have accomplished most of the work required to reduce the deficit by $1 trillion within that time frame.
So in that time frame, 130 days. And the process is a report at some point, at 100 days? Or?
Not really a report. We are cutting the waste and fraud in real time. So every day that passes, our goal is to reduce the waste and fraud by $4 billion a day, every day, 7 days a week. And so far, we are succeeding.
It's pretty astonishing, because if you remember when Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy initially teamed up to take on the Doge responsibilities, they set that self-expiration date of July 4th, 2026. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if Elon and his, I think the initial goal was somewhere between $1 to $2 trillion, but he's going to have accomplished that in 4 months and 10 days. This whole Doge thing might self-dissolve before the summer's over, which is wildly, I never thought. Now, I think the question everybody's asking is, well, when do we start to see it show up in real time for us as consumers with the cost of living going down? To which I would say Doge is only one element to this. There's the energy element, right? Heating and cooling for your home. The cost of gas, groceries.
I'm all for this, but I'm not going to be happy if we're just cutting here to make way for big spending with defense and everything else.
Right, you know, reallocating
reallocating it to different areas. Then no, you know what I mean. Like fat needs to be trimmed. Fat needs to be trimmed. Let's not, you know, the spending bill that's there. Like that's adding a lot of money to the deficit.
Right.
So, you know, let's see where this all shakes out.
Yeah, it's like paying off your MasterCard only to run up your Visa card, right? Like, I mean, you're just, you know, you're taking something out of one pot and putting it into the other. You know, it's great if we could save $1 trillion. It's great if inflation will come down. But if you're going to pump it into other things, especially if tax cuts don't come out, then people are going to be really mad.
Well, they've said they're not going to spend it on other things because they have to trim this budget.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's what they claim. That's
the new spending bill. Where is that money going to?
Well, yeah, when is the big bill? You know, Trump wants big beautiful bill. When are we getting that?
They signed the measure that will give them time to hammer it out. So we have that's why we didn't have a government shutdown.
Right.
So this is still being hammered out.
They'll still
discuss it.
I want to see tangible evidence that we're saving here, saving there. And if there's all this fraud that they claim, like, there needs to be prosecutions too. So I am hoping that we see all of that and not just words saying, oh yeah, we trimmed here, we trimmed there, we fired here, we fired there. I want to see evidence.
Here's a headline I will say to you, Greg, that I hope will make you feel better. According to Musk, he said this is the A does not impact core services. He said the president vows Social Security recipients, for example, will, quote, receive more money.
Yeah, we have that piece of audio. We'll play that all coming up in the Kutchy. I know. Words are words. I don't trust people's words. I don't care who that person is. I want to see actions. I want to see receipts.
Here's the Doge receipts from yesterday on their X feed. I'm just going to give you the numbers because I know they didn't go through these last night on the telecast. They canceled $577 million in America Last grants for $237 million in savings. Apparently, there was $10 million going for gender equity in the Mexican workplace, $12 million for worker empowerment in South America, $5 million for elevating women's participation in the workplace in West Africa, $4.3 million for assisting foreign migrant workers in Malaysia, and $3 million for safe and inclusive work environments in Lesotho?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know where. I've never heard of Lesotho until now. So here's my question along the lines of what you're thinking is, once you cancel all of these future expenses, or if they were pumping money into it as they discovered it and stopped it, where does that move? So, all right, we stop it. We're no longer going to cut checks for or send these grants here. Where does that go, right? Like, I want to visualize this. Is this just now sitting in an account? Does this ultimately get put towards paying off the deficit? Is this something that goes into a general fund that might come to us, the citizens? Because it's all taxpayer dollars for the most part, right?
Yeah, but if you're going through and you're cutting a budget,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're covering. Let's say you know you're going through your budget and you say, "All right, we're going to cut out. We're not going to spend any more money on, we're going to cut out, we're not going to spend any more money on alcohol. We're going to cut the booze budget.
No, we're not.
In the family budget. I know, I know, I get you on that one. But that's not, so that's not money that you have in a pot. It's money that in the future,
right,
you're not going to spend, and therefore it's a savings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know what I mean?
Right. I almost want to just like look at the ledger, so to speak, right? With what's in the account versus what we have to pay versus not, what we're going to spend.
There's so much money and all the money's fake anyway. You know what I mean? Like it's all a Ponzi scheme anyway. And when I say that, I don't mean it in like a, you know, ripping, like there's no actual money. It's just, okay, there's this money here, there's that money here. It's all fake. It's all fake. There's not some vault where there's trillions of dollars. It's just, that's not how this works.
It's really, it's almost so absurd and sick that you can't even process it, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to conceptualize, at least for me. 855-839-1210. Dawn has some news to kick off the second hour. And then I think we're about to get ahead of a story that could start to pick up steam. And it revolves around Pete Hegseth. Kale and Company, Hour 2 is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.